We're going to be talking about King Josiah today. He is the last great king of Judah. And I want to set the table a little bit with Josiah's background, because it's tied into, Jeff talked about Hezekiah yesterday. Hezekiah and Josiah are related. Hezekiah is essentially Josiah's great-grandfather. And they have many similarities, and they were both kings that obeyed the God. But where I think that Hezekiah, there's a more comprehensive, you know, there's a comprehensible approach to Hezekiah in Scripture. And Jeff did it. Just it was amazing to see the nuances and getting Hezekiah's heart. And yet Josiah, same kind of king, righteous and followed the Lord. He is more, I would say, Josiah is a reformer. And he has a revolutionary spark in him. And we'll look at the differences in him today. Not the differences, but just kind of the highlights of his reign. But where we really need to start is with Josiah's, essentially his grandfather, his father, Manasseh. Manasseh was Hezekiah's son, and he hands down was the most evil king in Judah, that Judah ever had, and he's certainly up there with the kings of Israel. I mean, he was just a horrible, horrible king. And I want to just read to you just a couple of just quick verses about what Manasseh was like. In 1 Kings 21, in verse 10, it says, "The Lord said to his servants through the prophets, 'Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins. He's done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him and has led Judah into sin with his idols.'" And really, the highlights of the reign of Manasseh, we don't even know anything about him as an administrator or really anything he did for the country of Judah. What we're really told in chapter 21 of 2 Kings is just his wickedness, sacrificing his children to idols, leading Judah astray. And this verse really sums it up. And this is a little bit hyperbole, but it says, "However, moreover, Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end beside the sin that he had caused Judah to commit. So they did evil in the eyes of the Lord." So he is influencing the people of Judah. He reigns for 55 years. Josiah. We're told about him, if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings 22. Josiah is introduced, and this is what we are told. It said, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah, and she was from Bosca, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right, to the left." Similar description when we were looking at Hezekiah yesterday. Josiah was a good king. And he leads revival into the nation of Judah. But that revival, it is a fire. And to some, that fire is a very bright light of recommitting their lives to the Lord. It pierces them. It causes people to repent and really change. And yet that fire also burns some. That fire causes death to the wicked. That fire causes major changes in Judah. So it says in verse 3, "In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the temple of the Lord." What was happening here is that things under the 55-year reign and the 2-year reign of Hezekiah's father, Amon, the temple of the Lord had fallen into disrepair. It was ignored. It was neglected. And we see Josiah, the righteous king. The temple was being repaired. It's being cared for. There's building projects. They're restoring it to the former glory of what it was under Solomon. Doubtful. But he's making the effort. And I love how the cherry picker just came on. That's awesome. Maybe the bear's driving it. But what we're told is that as they're repairing the temple, we're told that the book of the law is found. The book of the law is found in the temple. It's referring to the first 5 books of the Old Testament. And that is found, and it's brought to Josiah. And I want to read what happens. They bring him the book of the law, and Josiah has it read to him. And again, just for perspective here, we're 18 years into a 31-year reign. Josiah is 26 years old. It says in 2 Kings 22, verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest. I'm going to butcher names here. I'm glad Jeff said that yesterday. Ahikam, son of Shaphan. Akbor, son of Micaiah. Shaphan the secretary and Asaiah the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written concerning us. So Josiah hears this. The book of the law is read in his presence, and this is his reaction. He hears things. I mean, he hears kind of the full counsel of God. And I want to delineate between what Josiah heard, and then what he says. He says, he's like, you know, we're in trouble. I've heard good and glorious things, and I've also heard God commanding us to do specific things and to live in a specific way and to honor him and to obey him. And Josiah's like, we're not doing that. And so he sends word. And guys, there is power and knowledge in hearing the word of God. There is nothing that can replace that kind of transaction. When we read and hear the word of God, things happen. We come face to face with hearing what God, who he is, how he reveals himself. He primarily has revealed himself through Jesus Christ in his word. Josiah tore his robes. An act of mourning, grief. But he's backing it up. He's recognizing things about himself. Have you ever had a moment like that? Where you've read the word of God and it is just, it's ripped into your soul. Guys, it doesn't always have to be like this bad thing. But to come under the conviction of God is a powerful thing. I will never forget being up in the San Bernardino Mountains in October of 1996. I remember it well because it was Halloween and I was wearing a costume. I was dressed up like a Christian. That was funny. Come on. Come on now. Big bear watchers. Okay. I had a transformative moment with the Word of God. I was sitting in an auditorium and in college, and we were covering the book of Ephesians forensically. And we happened to be in Ephesians chapter 2. And it was just those 2 verses. And The teacher just read these verses and it just ripped it. It changed me. And the verses that I heard, it was, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do works for which God prepared in advance for us to do. I heard those two verses, guys, and my life has forever been changed by that. It changed my perception of who I was in Jesus Christ. It changed my perception of how I felt about my life and my standing before God. Before I really comprehended those verses, there was always this nervous splinter in my head that God was just simply storing up some kind of ill-fated justice for me. That yes, I believe in Jesus, but God was going to make my life miserable because of my sin. And God was going to take me out, and that he was just done with me. And I heard these verses and I finally had that magical moment of application and applying God's grace to my life. That there was nothing I could do to make God choose me. There was nothing I could do to make God love me. There was nothing I had to prove to God. That moment right there, I just had to accept grace. That was 28 years ago, and my life has never been the same since that moment. There's been other times too. Maybe you felt it just sitting in church and just the Word of God just lays you bare. God has read your mail. That's what happens. Change. Josiah is just blown away, and he's grieving, and he's recognizing what state the country is in. And this is what happens. He lets a prophetess know that he has found the book of the law. And this is what the prophetess says. She says in 2 Kings 22, verse 15, she said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me," that's Josiah, "this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and turned and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the other idols their hands have made, and my anger will burn against this place and not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I've heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers and you'll be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." And they took her answer back to the king. You know, sometimes the train of consequences has to come. The evil of the 55-year reign of Manasseh has to be answered for. You want to hear something even more tragic about Manasseh? According to the book of 2 Chronicles, Manasseh repented. Yeah. Last like 10 years of his life, he supposedly repented, but the damage was done, and it affected the people, an entire, you know, generations of people, a 55-year reign. They had been rejecting the Lord, and all of a sudden now God says, "Hey, this is all going to end." But he tells Josiah, because of how you responded, because of your heart, that you're walking with me, and I see you, and I see what you desire, and I see how you responded, this is not going to happen in your lifetime. And I have to say, Josiah hears this, and he does something that I wouldn't have done. There's a part of me, I'm so pessimistic. If I had heard the message that the prophetess gave back to Josiah about, you know, "Hey, when you die, this is, we're done," I would have been like, "Oh, drag." let's go mope for the next 30 years. Josiah leads the country in revival. It springs him into action. If this is the time that I have, if this is the time that Judah has, then it's going to go down as an amazing time. And we're going to honor the Lord. And change, real change, is going to happen in this country. And that's exactly what happens. Look at verse 1 of chapter 23. The king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord, to keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart, all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. And then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Well, what a time that must have been. Entire group of people agreeing to obey the Lord and change. You know, the large chunk of chapter 23 is, if we were to film 2 Kings chapter 23, if we were to turn it into a movie, this would be an amazing montage. You guys know what a montage is? You know, there's some great montages, you know, of an event happening and unfolding across a movie. Quick cuts of action, and you see, you know, you can see progress and plot in a movie montage. In 5 minutes, you've got, 3 hours worth of exposition, right, in a montage. And that's what's happening here. All of a sudden, Josiah just springs into action, 26 years old. And what does he do? He starts to systematically remove the altars of false gods in Judah. And he just starts, remarkable things start to happen. We're told that he did away with the pagan priests that were appointed by Manasseh and his own father. Those who burned incense to Baal and all the starry hosts, he destroyed those altars. The Asherah poles in the temple of the Lord, he destroyed everything. He cleaned house. He ground Asherah poles to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people, it says. He tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes. The male shrine prostitutes in Judah. There you go. That's the name of my new band, by the way. Male shrine prostitutes. They were in the temple of the Lord where the women did weaving for the Asherah poles. I mean, he obliterated everything. He cleansed the land. All the places where they had burned incense and just desecrated, he sprung into action. But I'm going to look at 2 Kings 23:15. Even at the altar at Bethel. Now pay attention. There's a connection here. He wanders into the northern kingdom. He wanders into the desolate area of Israel. It's not desolate. I mean, it's been repopulated with essentially people that are known in the New Testament as Samaritans. You know, that's kind of how that happened, that the 10 tribes of Israel got deported from their own land and reassimilated into Assyria, and then Assyria brought other people in. And you have kind of remnants of this, this Israelite culture with new people, and they become Samaritans, and, Jews hated Samaritans. There's that whole thing right there. So that plays out quite vividly in the New Testament. But he goes into that land, and he goes after the high places that Jeroboam, hundreds of years before, put up. He destroys those altars. And what's more, it was prophesied that Josiah, by name, he's prophesied. I didn't talk about it on Friday, but it was prophesied that a king named Josiah would clean house and break those altars and destroy them. And that is exactly what Josiah does. He destroys the high places and the altars and all the stuff that at Bethel and in Israel that Jeroboam had put up. And what's so cool is that all of a sudden in verse 17 he says, "What tombstone do I see?" And the men of the city says, "It marks the tomb of a man of God who came from Judah and pronounced against the altar of Bethel the very things you've done to it." "Leave it alone," he said. We don't know the name of the person that made this prophecy all the way back in 1 Kings 11. He names Josiah by name, and that's it. And Josiah comes across his grave, and they tell him, "Hey, this is the guy that prophesied that this would happen. You're the one doing it, by the way." That prophecy was fulfilled. Josiah is there. He says, "Leave it alone." And he just continues on. Just as he'd done at Bethel in verse 19, Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines of the high places the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. Josiah, oh man, this is that fire. He slaughtered the priests of those high places on the altars and burned human bones on them, and he went back to Jerusalem. Josiah is compelled to bring the people of Judah under the rule and reign of God and to be an obedient people. And he goes back to Jerusalem, and you know what happens then? It's just the right time too. He gave the order for the people to celebrate the Passover feast, just like they were instructed to in the book of the law. You know, I bet that Passover feast, I bet that was the most well-heeded. I bet every detail, because we get a lot of details about how they're supposed to celebrate the Passover feast. I believe that every single little bit and iota was followed, and it was probably a beautiful, successful feast, a time of remembering the Lord. The Passover was when the Lord brought them out of Egypt. I think it was a very powerful event. I'm sure it was done and executed perfectly. And just as a side note, it says, "Furthermore, Josiah got rid of all the mediums, spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. He did this to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses." You know, I love that there is there's something that started in the reign of King Josiah, and then it just makes sense. He hears the word of the Lord, he springs into action, and the action brings about change. He brings about change. And I think that sometimes that's something that we need to hear. God is very interested in change. And I think that's good, because I don't know about you, but there's some times in my life where I feel a tremendous stagnation. Sometimes my soul is like water that has been sitting in a pond. And there's all sorts of disgusting scum and algae in it. There's just stagnation in my soul. And I feel like I'm just lost to repetition of my life. And when I get into repetition, I think, gosh, every single day is exactly the same as the one before. That's when the bad tapes start to play in my head. And I start to despise the present. And I fear the future, that the future is just going to be the same. But the truth is, with the Lord, change is possible. Change can happen. God can eliminate that bad thinking, and He can set our minds in a good place. So that means where joy has been stolen, when there's obvious catastrophic damage in our life, whether it be all the wreckage for the past, bad relationships, bad decisions, bad musical choices, all the things that we think could happen, there's hope for change. And God Himself has provided the instrument for the change in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus dying meant there is hope. Jesus dying, Jesus being our King, means that we don't have to wallow. We don't have to wallow in self-pity, that there's power in the promises of the Lord and that they're true. I just want to put it this way. I think, what would the people of Judah think about a king like Josiah? What would it be like to be a citizen of Judah and have a king like that? How would you feel? And I think much more for us. Forget the king of America. Forget our leadership here. Forget the leadership of the world. How do we feel about King Jesus ruling and reigning supreme? That gives me hope. That wakes me up out of my stupor. That makes me, you know, as the land was cleansed of all the garbage, as priests were burned on their altars and just real, true change came into the land, so it is in our hearts. Josiah, what a righteous king. What a fiery revival. Yet I honestly say, for as exciting and vibrant as this these chapters are in his life, it pales into comparison in the work that God has done and is doing and will do in our lives through Jesus Christ. That is a good message, and that wakes us up. Wake up, dead men. Wake up out of your slumber. I want to close with, I think a very appropriate section of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1. Some of the most beautiful and evocative words that the Apostle Paul wrote in the New Testament. Paul says in Colossians 1:13, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And then, speaking of Jesus, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile Himself to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Be blessed today. Be blessed. God is doing a work in you. That story is told time and time and time again in the pages of Scripture. The mighty God reaching out, offering clarity and hope to His people, restoring them and people seeing change in their lives. May it come into our lives today.